Romans chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Well, he sounds like Moses, doesn't he, who was willing to give his eternal life, really, his place in the kingdom, so that they might be saved. He says, forgive their sin, and if not, then blot me out of the book that you've written. And although God, in the end, doesn't work like that, he doesn't, as it were, say, well, I'll substitute you for them. All the same, the extent of Moses' love for Israel when they so hated and detested him was amazing. And it's the same with Paul. He so wanted to see the salvation of Israel. It was his heart's desire, even though they were so horrible to him after he became a Christian. And this should be our desire, that our heart should bleed for the salvation of others and not just be caught up with our own salvation. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law regarding righteousness to everyone that believes. Earlier, Paul has said that we are justified by faith. We are counted righteous, even though we are not, by grace through faith, because God loves us. And when you love somebody, you look at them very positively. And this is how God looks at us. For Moses writes that the man that does the righteousness which is of the law shall live thereby. But the righteousness which is of faith says thus, don't say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what did it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Because if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him shall not be put to shame. So then, we will be saved, but it's a case of believing in the heart. And that's what God's looking at. Whether you believe in your heart that this is so, that really Jesus is my Lord, God raised him from the dead, and he has forgiven me, and he counts me as righteous, not because of my good works, but because of his grace. And so whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And then he interprets what that means, whoever. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. It's whoever, Jew or Gentile, who believes in him will not be ashamed. For the same one who is Lord of all is rich to all that call upon him, that is, whether they're Jew or Gentile. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what you do when you are baptized into the name of the Lord, and you call upon yourselves the name of the Lord. How then shall they call on him in whom they do not believe? How shall they believe in him about whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So although you could say, well, if I don't preach to that person, I guess God will raise up somebody else. Well, no, not necessarily. Maybe God has delegated that person's salvation to us. And people cannot believe unless they have heard the message that they must believe in. And so how shall they hear without a preacher? This is where the work of preaching the gospel is absolutely hugely important. Other people's eternity depends upon it. We all like to have something to do in life that is really significant, and people strive to get careers that they think enable them to do significant things for other people. But I really don't think that anything is ultimately that significant, because we shall all die. Whether you work cleaning people's shoes or whether you work as a heart surgeon, it's all the same. The people whose heart you fix, the people whose shoes you clean are all going to die. But we each one have the opportunity to do something of ultimate significance in saving somebody from an eternal grave. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But actually that's a slight change of the original, because the original passage said, how beautiful are the feet of him, that's Jesus, who brings glad tidings, the gospel of good things. But here it's just changed, just tweaked a little bit. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings. So all that is true of Jesus becomes true of us. He has no face, no hands, no legs in this world apart from us. We are the body of Christ to people. But they did not all obey the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, as I say, people have got to have some content to believe in. Talk about faith. Well, you know, people say, I believe. Or, well, okay, what do you believe in? And that's why they cannot hear without a preacher, and hearing comes by the word of God. But I say, did they not hear? Yes, truly, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? For Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy with those who are no nation. With a nation void of understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found by those that did not seek me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But to Israel, he said, all the day long did I spread out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. So therefore, the Gentiles now have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And this, Paul says, provokes to jealousy the Jews. And that's exactly what, of course, he experienced all the time he was baptizing Gentiles. It made the Jews so jealous, and they wanted to kill him because of that.